New heading, speech that builds up. Self-control is not an end in itself. It is valuable only insofar as it allows us to be the kind of people God wants us to be. A man or woman may be perfectly self-controlled and morally corrupt at the same time. In fact, self-control can allow one to do greater works of unrighteousness than one would otherwise be capable of, just as it also can allow one to serve God with greater success. Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin may have been paragons of self-mastery, but this quality only equipped them to be more productive in the works of evil. This truth applies fully to the area of speech. It is possible to have perfect mastery over one's speech and then use it for an evil end. Furthermore, it is possible to be master of one's speech, have a noble goal, and at the same time lack the wisdom to know how to attain that goal. Bridling the tongue is only the first step. Once we are ready to ride, we must decide on our destination and how to get there. What is the goal for the use of our speech? Paul states it succinctly. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let all things be done for edification. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. The goal of our speech is edification. This old English word is connected to the word edifice, which simply refers to a building. The verb is often translated elsewhere as build, build up, or upbuild. The Greek word literally means to construct a building. It is used in this literal sense in many passages of Scripture. See, for example, Matthew 23, verse 29, Luke 12, verse 18, and John 2, verse 20. Paul uses it in its figurative sense to indicate the goal of our speech and of all that we do. Underlying this image of edification or building up is the New Testament view of the ecclesia as the temple or building of God. Matthew 16, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 17, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, and 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 8. The body of the individual Yeshua follower is also seen as a temple or building. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 through 20. Paul probably chose this image for two reasons. First, it conveys the truth that God lives in Yeshua followers, both individually and corporately, just as his presence dwelt in the temple in Jerusalem. We have all the privileges of those who ministered in the inner tent, freedom of access and continual worship. We also bear the responsibility incumbent on those who ministered in the inner tent, the call to perfect holiness. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Second, the image of the temple or building allowed Paul to impress upon us our current state of being under construction. The foundation has been laid and the cornerstone set, but the building is not yet complete. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11, Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, and 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. More work needs to be done on us, individually and corporately, before we become the temple God fully desires. This second aspect of the temple image provides the background of Paul's use of the term build up. Each of us is called to participate in the building up of the body of Messiah. Strive to excel in building up the ecclesia. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, ESV. We build up the ecclesia by strengthening its individual members, fostering its common life, and adding to its numbers. When we do these things, we are actually sharing in a work that is central to God's purpose in human history, as revealed by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Messiah, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, ESV, See also 1 verses 9 through 10, 22 to 23, and 2 verses 11 to 22, and 3 verses 8 through 10. God is intent on erecting this building, and he has made us part of the edifice and enlisted us in its continuing construction. Now we can grasp the meaning of Paul's teaching in Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building up. God has called each of us to share in his work of building up a people. One of the more powerful tools at our disposal is our tongue. Paul therefore urges us to wield this tool deftly in God's service. Our speech should be used to strengthen our fellow Yeshua followers, enrich the common life of the people of God, and bring others to a knowledge of Messiah and a place in his body. The force that controls our work of building up the body, and therefore our speech, is love. Paul regularly connects love and edification. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, ESV. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Messiah, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16. In other words, the way we build up the body of Messiah is by living and walking and speaking in love. It is by looking out for one another's good rather than our own, even as Yeshua himself looked out for our good at the cost of his life. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Messiah did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Romans 15, verses 2 to 3, ESV. 1 Corinthians 14, which teaches us how to use our tongue in the Yeshua-following assembly, employs the word edify more than any other chapter of Scripture, and the fact that it follows directly on Paul's great praise of love in 1 Corinthians 13 reveals important connections in Paul's mind. Our speech is governed by our call to build up the body of Messiah, and our work of building is controlled by love. When we speak the truth in love, we build up the body of Messiah. The God-appointed destination of our speech, then, is the building up of the body of Messiah in love. But how do we get there? How do we live this out? We need practical wisdom about how to speak in love. We need a roadmap to guide us. Yet, while this practical wisdom is certainly important, it is less important than actually bridling our tongue and committing ourselves to use it for the building up of the body of Messiah in love. This is the indispensable beginning of our work.